Ian Paisley must be turning in his grave. That was a warning before the election from Councillor John Finlay to the DUP leadership over the party's decision to run a gay candidate. The newsletter has the story this morning. They have quotes from a letter. Let's get their political editor, Sam McBride, to tell us more. You've seen this letter, Sam.
Good morning, Stephen. Yes, this was a letter which was sent before the election. This was before John Finlay would have known that Alison Bennington was going to be elected as a councillor, although it was always going to be a very clear possibility that was going to happen, and she was going to join him as a party colleague in the party's council team. He is somebody who has a pretty high profile for a councillor. He was the individual who led the rally in support of Ian Paisley Jr. last year at the height of the scandal over the free holidays to Sri Lanka, etc., for Ian Paisley Jr. He is somebody who is quite outspoken on some of these quite traditional DUP positions on moral issues. This is, I think, quite reflective of the internal debate within the DUP, where there are people on both sides of this debate now beginning to speak out, either very publicly like this or a little bit more privately to journalists, but still making clear their views. In this letter, really, he focuses on the party's history. He says that it was a very foolish decision for the party to select somebody who was openly gay. He then really, for the first time, I think, of anybody in the DUP who is objecting to this move by the party, he really tries to address the argument, the very obvious argument, which people who are supporting this would make, which is that if you're going to have equality of opportunity, the fact that somebody is gay ought to be neither here nor there. There is no party policy against being gay. Therefore, if you're allowed to be a DUP member, why should you not be chosen as a candidate? He says that there is some strength in that argument, but he then goes on to really say that doesn't work for him. He says that the party's traditional support base cannot be taken for granted on this issue. He said that he had encountered a lot of anger on the doorsteps about this, and really said that he thought this was something that was going to cost the party lots of votes in the election last week.
Did John Finlay talk in this letter about Alison Bennington personally?
Yes, he speaks about her by name. This was a letter which was addressed to the party officers, and the purpose of the letter, as he expresses it, is to make clear his concern about what has happened. He's not really, it would seem, asking for anything specific. He's not saying she should be put out of the party or anything like that. But he is making very clear that he is that he's very angry about this, that he's unhappy about it, that people who he's speaking to are unhappy about it. And that he thinks that this is electorally damaging to the DUP. So it is something where I suppose it is now very clear that this debate is beyond a single individual. We know that before the election, one of the DUP's other very traditional councillors, John Finlay, a veteran of about 40 years in the party from Ballymena, spoke out very firmly and went further, actually, I suppose, than Councillor Finlay. He was urging the public to pray that Ms. Bennington would not be elected, which is really a remarkable situation when you think about somebody urging people to pray that a party colleague does not get elected. And I think that shows the level of the distrust within the DUP around this issue, the anger at this issue, because these people, I suppose, have not seen where the party is going and where it will continue to go as it gradually begins to liberalise, it gradually begins to try to expand its support base. Some of these people genuinely don't seem to have seen that coming and are now just horrified at what they're seeing.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because this is clearly a strategic decision by the DUP. And do you think, given the feedback they've had over this, they will be standing by their decision?
Oh, very much so. I think it's been very clear, both before and after the election, that this was a strategic decision by the party. This was someone who, the way which the DUP choose their candidates is that some of their candidates are chosen locally by the local association. Some of them are chosen centrally by the party hierarchy. And Ms. Bennington was chosen by the party leadership. So it was a strategic decision from the outset. She was then placed in the front row at the party manifesto launch, just a few seats up from Arlene Foster. She was somebody who really throughout this entire saga, which must have been very difficult for her, albeit not entirely unexpected, given that the views of lots of DUP members on homosexuality are not exactly unknown. But this this is something where she has received very firm support, I'm sure privately, but certainly publicly, from everyone in the party leadership team, really from Arlene Foster down. But it is clear that beneath that tier of the party, there is a lot of disquiet. So among councillors, among party members, we know that from the Free Presbyterian Church, which many of the senior DUP individuals are members of, that they are very unhappy at this. And I think that we are really coming to a crunch point here where the party has decided that they are going to see off this attempt to have her deselected or to have her to have this stopped or never happening again or whatever it is that these people really want. But I think that there is a moment of truth here where for a long time the UDC has tried to become this broad church, taking in everyone from really the almost Jim Allister type individuals right the way through to somebody like Ms. Bennington. I don't think in the modern political world you really can do that on issues of this type. And therefore, there is a point here where the party, I think, is having to choose between those two positions. And it's very clear that they have decided, and they have some quite clear electoral evidence last week, I think, from the move towards the centre ground and the fact that the UK voters did not in any en masse way walk away from the party over this issue. That this is where unionism is happy to be, and it'll be for other people to decide whether they're happy to stay in the UK.
There are a number of questions for John Finlay this morning, and Mr. Finlay has turned down our request for him to come on to the radio, on to the Nolan Show, and talk to the public. But he's going to get the questions from this programme no matter what. So let's go through them. So Mr. Finlay writes, first of all, about an individual. He's talking about Alison Bennington, as you know, Sam, in this letter. And he says, I am writing to place on record my deep concern about the decision to select an openly gay candidate to run for the party in the council elections. So John Finlay doesn't think that someone who is gay can ever run for the party. Why not, Mr. Finlay? And is it befitting of you as an individual, Mr. Finlay, that you talk about someone else, that you write privately about it, but you're not prepared to come on and speak openly about your views? Where's your accountability? And where is the rights of Alison Bennington in all of this? He goes on to say, I'm also very upset about the way in which the candidate was selected. And later on in the letter, John Finlay hits out at party officers within the DUP. And he says, and he brings their Christianity into it. And he says, I'm particularly disappointed that party officers who are committed Christians have either supported Ms. Bennington's candidature or remained ominously silent. Of course, the irony there is it's John Finlay who is remaining silent publicly. He wants to get away with simply writing private letters, and as a democratically accountable person in politics, it's he who wants to remain silent over this. And he brings in the Christianity of party officers. Can someone who is gay in Northern Ireland not be Christian also? Is Mr. Finlay, does he have a view on whether God, in his view, would deem someone, if they're gay, to not be allowed to be a Christian? Many, many questions for John Finlay this morning, who seems to be wanting to be able to write private letters about other people. They haven't had an opportunity to hear him being publicly accountable. He talks about that this will cost the DUP votes as a result of the Bennington decision. He says you can't take the support base for granted. I want to open this up this morning once again. I do feel this is a pretty important moment for you to send a signal to the DUP. Either way, whether you're in support of them or not, let's hear from you today. 03030 80 55 55. There's so much in this letter, actually, and you might want to read it In the newsletter today, they've covered it extensively with Sam McBride explaining to us this morning some of the background to it. You know, there are lots of parts here. For example, he says, John Finlay says, this sends out at best confusing signals to our support base, which has consistently welcomed our strong stand on LGBT issues. He says, indeed, the DUP is different from all other political parties, apart from the much smaller TUV, in its adherence to family values. So can you not have good, decent family values and be a gay person in Northern Ireland? Is that what this councillor is all about as well? This is the councillor who wants to write private letters about people and not be publicly accountable for them. So to you, Mr. Finlay, this morning, I think if you're going to write about other people who have as much rights as you do, maybe you should be prepared to answer some questions, and we will be trying to get you to answer those very, very much indeed. If you don't want to answer them, we'll get the public to talk about your views, be it that they're supporting you, they'll be on air. If they're not, well, let's give them some space this morning too. 03030 80 55 55. Jim in West Belfast, we'll start with you, Jim. Morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen. How are you doing?
Good morning.
I'd like to make the point about Mr. Finlay. I don't know the man. I've no reason to criticise him. But what I would say about him is, if Alison Bennington, if he needed a blood transfusion and he's going to die, and the only person available to give that man blood was Alison Bennington, and she was a lesbian, would he say no? I don't think so. So this is totally ridiculous. His comments are homophobic and neophobic regarding this woman's sexual preference.
Well, you're calling them homophobic. No doubt he would dispute that. And he would say this is...
But what are they?
Well,
Well,
no doubt if he was here. And this is why I'm so keen for him to be on. No doubt that he would say that he is objecting to any change in the DUP's position.
But can I
on
make
gay
an
marriage, that doesn't mean you're homophobic.
But can I make another point? I was talking to your researcher about, see this young lady getting elected to DUP, and I think it's brilliant. Change in the DUP, they've got a young LGBT councillor. Now, I imagine a lot of DUP supporters voted for that girl, but I also imagine a lot of other people who wouldn't traditionally vote for DUP voted for that girl to send a message. Surely the election of that young lady as a councillor must send a bigger message to the upper echelons of the DUP, Arlene Foster, Nigel Dodds, Jeffrey, that they need to change big time if they want to become a modern dynamic party in a Northern Ireland of the 21st century.
Maybe they are changing.
But obviously are, the very fact that they let this lady go forward as a councillor. But they need to put it out to their electorate now that, you know what, see this opposition to gay marriage? It's not the worst thing in the world, because we have a councillor...
Well, Arlene Foster is still opposed to gay marriage. She's made that clear.
That's all optics.
Well,
everything's up for negotiation.
She's made it
what
clear.
I'm saying to you is, that young lady obviously was given the okay to go forward as a councillor. So behind the scenes, there's obviously stuff going on about these talks with Sinn Féin and what's acceptable, what's not acceptable. But I think it's a positive sign that young lady has got elected, and it shows it. And I'm the worst cynic of what goes on in politics here, but it actually gives you a bit of hope that things may possibly change over the next few months.
We can, because we're trying to be as fair to Mr. Finlay this morning as possible as well. When I say he won't be accountable to us this morning, he did answer a question to the BBC at the Count Centre on Friday night, when he was asked if he thought the election of Alison Bennington meant the DUP's position was going to shift.
Well, for myself, the DUP's position will not be shifted. We believe that marriage is between a man and a woman. Miss Bennington is entitled to her views, but the views of the party are that we recognise that marriage is between a man and a woman.
And do you think that some of your colleagues have been on the airwaves today using, you know, interesting language? Do you think it's time for the DUP to rein back on using terms like abomination when it comes to describing sexuality?
Well, I haven't heard any comments. I'm not going to make comments on something I haven't heard, but I personally still believe marriage is between a man and a woman.
And will Miss Bennington be welcomed at the conference next time round?
Well, we don't discriminate against anybody, and although I may disagree with her lifestyle, I mean, I wouldn't show any discourteous to her. I still treat her as I would treat anybody else.
John Finlay talking about Alison Bennington's lifestyle. Mr. Finlay, are you prepared to talk about your lifestyle? Maybe you could pick up the phone and tell us about your lifestyle and what you get up to, and maybe we could then do a phone-in. If you think it's appropriate to talk about Alison's, would it be appropriate for us to do a phone-in and say that we wouldn't discriminate against you because of your lifestyle, whatever it is? These are the type of questions I'd like to put to John Finlay this morning. Sam McBride, in terms of the language from other more senior people than John Finlay within the DUP, have a listen to Christopher Stalford, who was speaking to the BBC at the weekend.
The requirement to be a unionist is that you believe in the union. That's it. There is no other requirement. And Jim is a dear friend of mine, and we go back a long, long way, but I believe that he was wrong in the way that he spoke about Alison Bennington.
Yeah, and Arlene Foster said he shouldn't have spoken publicly about that, and now there'll be a bit of an inquiry into quite what he did.
I think that was wrong.
So has the time come to boot him out?
This is someone... Can I say some positive things about Alison first? This is someone,
you certainly can.
This is someone who served her country in uniform, was a local government officer in terms of worked for a council, eminently qualified to be a council candidate.
Right.
And therefore, I think that she was right to run, and we were right to run her.
OK, and he's outraged and incensed that you ran her. What I'm asking you, has the time come for the DUP to move on and leave that behind? If you have to cut Jim Wells and others who share his view adrift, will you do so?
I don't want to cut anyone out of our party, can I please answer the question? I don't want to cut anyone out of the party, but I think that Jim was wrong in the way that he spoke. But that's important. It's important for me to say that,
sure,
as someone who's his friend.
But has the time come to leave him behind?
Well, I think that vision in terms of divvying people up in terms of how they live their life is something that we should not be doing as a party.
Okay.
Now, Sam, that is a fundamental change in some of the language that we've heard years ago from the DUP. Like, it is a dramatic change.
More than that, because until last year, Christopher Stalford was a member of the Free Presbyterian Church. He was somebody who went to the church, the Martyrs Memorial Church, which Ian Paisley once was the minister of. So it is coming from somebody who understands both the theological arguments around this and the politics of this within the DUP and its history. He's somebody who speaks in the DUP. He is also somebody who is quite close to Arlene Foster, and I think that is fully reflective of what she has been saying. I think the difficulty for the DUP is that there is almost a sense that they are pleasing neither side in this whole argument, because they have clearly incensed people within the party who are very traditional, who have grown up with the party campaigning to save Ulster from sodomy. And there has never been any open repudiation of that, any sense that this was wrong. Yes, the party about 3 years ago moved to say that they would support gay pardons. That was an implicit acceptance that it was wrong to ever have criminalised people for this. But there was never any sort of mea culpa, never any big speech from the party leader saying, we got this wrong. So I think that they're almost managing to annoy both sides. They are not in any way enthusiastically endorsed by members of the LGBT community, but they're in danger, I think, of losing a small but significant number of their members in places like North Antrim and places like Mid Ulster, and places which are very traditional, which do have quite significant support from Free Presbyterians or from other smaller Christian churches, such as the one which Jim Wells is a member of. And there is no guarantee of that being made up, because they're not being clear enough in what they think. So I think there is coming a moment of truth for the party. It's clear which direction they're moving in. It's probably better, I think, for both sides in this debate if they get that over with quickly, rather than have this as a protracted situation where both sides lose.
See, I wonder also, Sam, if the DUP has come this far, will there be any strategising within the party to go further? Arlene Foster resisted apologising for anything that she felt she could have done better with RHI, and then eventually apologised, eventually said sorry. I wonder, is there any thinking within the DUP for all of that language of abomination for all of that language of that very much marginalised gay people in Northern Ireland, I wonder, are they thinking of going to apologise for all of that? Would Arlene Foster be that type of leader or not?
I think she probably will be, and I think that that is the logic of the position to which they are moving. It is something which I think you need to have a certain degree of political strength to do something like that. Arlene Foster has been a very weak leader over the last couple of years. With this election result, there is a sense that she now has not a brilliant mandate, but she has a pretty clear mandate, and the party has not seen any implosion in its votes. And therefore, I think if she wants to do something like that, if she has the support of the senior members of the party, she could do that. But just bear this in mind. The DUP is a party which tends to move quite slowly. Even when they moved into government with Sinn Féin, that was something which they gradually prepared people for. Where they have tried to move very quickly, as with the putative deal last February to go back into Stormont, it has tended to fall apart. So I think this is probably a long-term project for the DUP. By backing the gay pardons, which Arlene Foster personally took an interest in, she personally drove elements of that forward. It is clear where the party is going here. But whether they move quickly or not, I think it is not in the culture of the DUP to move quickly. But there's a very strong argument, I think, that if this is what they think is both politically right and, for many of these people, morally they think it is right, why not just get it over with? Why not do it now?
I'm just being reminded by someone within the DUP here. Of course, Arlene Foster said RHI was her biggest regret on the 19th of December 2016. Philip in London. Hello, Philip.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning.
If I can lay my place out, I was born in Sandy Row. I've been away from Northern Ireland for over 40 years. I moved back to Northern Ireland through circumstances a couple of years ago, and I moved away again because of the attitude towards gay people. I'm a gay man, and sitting listening to the remarks this morning, I am absolutely appalled.
Well, Alderman John Finlay, who won't come on and speak to you, he has deep concern that the DUP has even given a chance to a gay person to run for their party.
Yes, I know, but if you listen to the language about Alison Bennington, talking about her sexuality as a lifestyle choice.
She's not talking about... John Finlay is talking about her sexuality as a lifestyle choice.
But it is not a lifestyle choice. It's this view that people choose their sexuality. People do not choose their sexuality. I did not choose my sexuality. My sexuality is what it is. This thing about looking at people through the prism of who they choose to make love to is, quite frankly, primitive. And from my position over here in London, in GB, people do not think like that.
But John Finlay and others within the DUP, we've been phoning Jim Wells this morning. He's not picking up his phone to us today. We've been trying to get in touch with him. He's outspoken about this as well. They are entitled to fight for their belief that marriage is between a man and a woman. They're entitled to try to hold their political party to that position. And as we stand today, that is still Arlene Foster's position.
Yes, well, it may be the public view from Arlene Foster. I don't actually believe that Arlene Foster thinks like that.
Well,
and I think it was interesting.
That's what she is publicly saying.
Yes, that's the public view. But I think it was interesting.
Let's hear from Arlene Foster, if you don't mind. Let's just hear what she said the weekend.
Alison put herself forward as a member of the party. She has been a member of the party for some time now. She put herself forward for selection process, just like everybody else, and she signed up to all of our policy objectives, what we wanted to do as a party. And essentially, she joined the party and became a candidate for the party because she wanted to work locally for people, and she believed in the union. She's a committed unionist, and she wants to see the DUP grow and to be able to advocate for the union because it's what we all believe in. I've made it perfectly clear what our policy is on marriage. It still is the case that we believe that marriage is between a man and a woman. That doesn't mean that we exclude members from the gay community from being members of the party or indeed wanting to run for selection or from being candidates, because our rule book is very clear. It says very clearly that everybody is equal under the law and equally subject to the law. And therefore, I'm not going to discriminate against people who come forward and want to be candidates.
But Arlene, and I know you don't talk to me anymore, and your party doesn't talk to me anymore because I dared to bring RHI coverage to the public. But Arlene, here are the questions for you as one of the most prominent political leaders in this country. When you say everyone is equal, is Alison Bennington's love for her partner as equal to yours, Arlene, or to anyone else listening to this programme? If Alison Bennington wants to recognise her love through marriage, has she not got an equal right to do so? For those people in your party, Arlene, who in the past described people like Alison Bennington as being abnormal, as needing a psychiatrist, have you got any will in your head, Arlene Foster, to make any public statement about that? And I think those are the questions for the DUP leader at this time. Now, to be clear, when we do this subject on the radio, there are a significant number of people calling in support of the DUP's position that they will stop gay people from being able to get married in Northern Ireland. So let me be crystal clear about that. There are. But equally, there are quite a few people who are not comfortable with that in Northern Ireland. 03030 80 55 55. Why are we covering it today? Because the newsletter have got a copy of this letter from Alderman John Finlay, who has written criticising the DUP even giving a gay person a chance to run for the party. 03030 80 55 55. Lots of your calls. We'll take those in just a second. Sean and Ballinmurphy. Morning, Sean.
Good morning, Stephen.
What are your thoughts?
Stephen, in terms of Alison's politics, I would be a polar opposite, but I must congratulate her for her dignity in the face of the onslaught from zealots and bigots. And it's cruel to listen to. It's nobody's business what that girl does with her private life.
Well, these people would deny being bigots. They would deny having anything personally against Alison Bennington or anybody else. They would say that they're against the practice of homosexuality, not the person. However, Alderman John Finlay, it is a statement of fact, does not think that Alison Bennington, specific person, should be allowed to run for the DUP in politics in Northern Ireland. He's suitable to do so, and she's not. He's good enough to do so, and she's not. What makes you better than anyone else, Mr. Finlay? Is it your lifestyle choice to be a heterosexual? If we take your logic, Mr. Finlay, because if you think Alison is deciding to be gay, then presumably, Mr. Finlay, when you get up in the morning, you decide what button to push and you decide to be straight, if I'm following your logic. All of these questions, John Finlay, he wants to sit, write private letters and not answer these questions.
Stephen, has Finlay been elected?
Yeah.
Right.
He's a councillor.
Does he take an oath to discharge his duties for all his constituents, regardless. So does he represent gay people, or is it only straight people?
Well, he does say within his letter, it's been argued that candidates are to be selected on the basis of merit, that there must be a quality of opportunity, that a candidate's private life is not a matter for public discussion. And then he goes on to write a letter about Alison Bennington to other people in the party. He says, while there is some truth in these assertions, they do not really address the issue. Mark in Belfast. Thank you, Sean. Morning, Mark.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, Mark.
Hello, Stephen. I've been a DUP supporter all my life, 45 now. I also have a daughter who's just come out the last couple of years, which is gay. Do these politicians lie in their beds at night and worry why these people, when they come out gay? My daughter self-harmed for 2 years. And I've told her not to go near the DUP and support her. Not they're going to lose thousands upon thousands of votes in the coming years. Stephen, what right have they to say what anyone's love is? Everyone's love's the same, Stephen. We all cry the same tears. We all bleed the same blood. What's about a different love? This country's come out of brilliant. Come on, brilliant, over the years. Yes, we might be slipping back a bit. Come on, brilliant. We've knocked the troubles in the head. Now, the LGBT community are getting knocked for what they are. It's wrong, Stephen. The politicians are wrong. They've got it wrong. They can sleep in their beds at night. They don't worry about when their children go out while they're coming home, because they're coming home safe. It's ones in the LGBT community are getting demoralised for years. It's time to stop it, Stephen.
Well, do you not think the DUP is going along that road?
No, Stephen, they should have went along that road years ago. They should have went along it. So they should have supported them all my life. And my family supported them all my life. And see, this year, whenever we're near the polls, what happens if the ground stop my daughter and say, you're gay, you're not voting?
No, the DUP would presumably tell your daughter that
Stephen,
she is
wrong.
They would tell your daughter that they want to treat her with equality, but that if she loves another person, she cannot get married in Northern Ireland. They would tell your daughter follow their policy, they would tell your daughter that even if in our democratic society the majority of politicians in Northern Ireland voted for your daughter to be able to get married, the DUP would use a petition of concern to block it.
And for that reason, I will never be supporting DUP again. For that reason, and they're going to lose thousands of voters over the coming years. Thousands, and to be honest, I'm glad to see it, Stephen. I'm disgusted this morning listening to this with them. Just absolutely disgusted. I've lain in bed at night worried sick over my daughter, but I like to see people that come out and demoralise her even more. Who do they think they are?
But do you not think... Some people would argue that the DUP give them space, that they are moving along the road to changing some of their policy.
We're giving space, Stephen. They're the same as me and you.
No, I'm talking about the DUP as a political party.
Stephen, they're not moving quick enough. One councillor they have in, and best of luck to that girl. Absolute best of luck. I hope she ends up taking one of her best jobs. I'd vote for that girl every day of the week if I could. Every day of the week. Best of luck to her, Stephen. DUP, totally disappointed. Never will I support them again. Never. In fact, I told one of our councillors when he came to my door the reason why. And he was gobsmacked, couldn't give me an answer. There you go. And that's a gospel truth, Stephen.
I think.
Hello.
Yeah, I'm trying to think out loud here, John. Sorry, Mark. Which isn't always the best thing to do on the radio. But I'm just mindful. Mm. You know, if you compare the language that you heard there from the likes of Christopher Stalford.
Yeah.
Of talking about treating people equally, as Sam McBride was pointing out to us, you know, Christopher Stalford, up until a year ago, a member of the Free Presbyterian Church.
Correct.
What Arlene's talking about treating people equally. And you think of the language from others in the past. Don't forget, It was someone from within the DUP who described if gay people have sex that they found it nauseating. Right,
yeah,
so, in other words, made them sick.
Correct. I've heard every comment about.
Don't forget, we've had people from the DUP saying that Hurricane Katrina was a punishment from God on gay people.
Stephen, this is making me more upset, more and more upset.
But what I'm trying to say, Mark, is compare all of that language to the DUP now supporting, standing by an openly gay candidate.
Stephen, one.
Should you not say well done to them?
No, we shouldn't, Stephen. No, we shouldn't. I have done for all those years, but no, we shouldn't anymore. And for that reason, and for that reason only, they need to move a bit quicker on their stance in the LGBT community.
Maybe the DUP's frightened of it costing them votes if they...
It's losing them votes, Stephen. It's losing, you know. How, when the DUP's on run the LGBT community line, how do they expect those same people to go and vote for them? How do they expect those same people there? Yes, I know you're saying they've moved on. And right, okay, they've moved on an inch. And my mind and my book, Stephen, from what I've come through with my daughter being at the LGBT community before she came out. And it's hard. And it's not nice knowing what your daughter has covered up. But the DUP on this one are up another tree, Stephen.
They're entitled to their Christian view.
And, 100%.
And for anybody that calls...
Oh, yeah.
And for anybody that describes anybody as a hypocrite because they have a deeply held Christian view, that is profoundly wrong and unfair and incorrect.
Oh, yeah, of
You're
course.
You're allowed... You know, Mr. Finlay, for example, is not a hypocrite. Mr. Finlay has a deeply held Christian view. And he is the opposite of a hypocrite. He's actually holding to his Christian values.
He's entitled to his Christian values. I'm not knocking Christian values in any one shape or form. All I'm saying is the DUP, if they're opening up now, neither open up wide, Stephen, or they're going to lose thousands upon tens of thousands of votes here in the coming years. Like, they really, really are.
How's your daughter now? Is she okay?
Yep, everything's great. My daughter has a partner now. What happens if they want to go married? What if I say to him he's good England? Cheers, DUP, I've voted for you all my life. Thanks a lot. That's what's going to happen.
If your daughter went to England and got married,
yep.
If she came back to her home in Northern Ireland,
the
DUP are ensuring that her marriage would not be recognised in Northern Ireland.
That's okay. I don't need the DUP anymore, Stephen. Because it's obviously sure that the DUP don't need me and my daughter's votes and the rest of her friends' votes and her family's votes. Terrible to say, but it's a shame in Northern Ireland. Shame. Anywhere else in the UK you can do it, Northern Ireland, no. Come on ahead. Come on ahead, DUP. Get your finger out and look at reality. We've changed. We're still changing. We'll keep going and changing. If you want to change and keep your votes, change along with us. Change along with you and don't leave it hanging any longer.
I'm just trying to be as fair as possible to him this morning. A Christian who does have the belief that marriage is between a man or a woman, they shouldn't change their view based on any type of populist move, should they?
No, I'm not asking to change anything on their religion and what they believe in. I'm not asking to change their. What I'm asking is to look down the road and look ahead. I keep knocking these people back. These people have been knocked back for as far back as I can remember going to school because it's terrible to say. I had friends, it was like that, little one of them days, how hard they were getting it. And we were giving them a bit of stick about it. It's not nice anymore, Stephen. It's time to move on from all that.
And is your daughter going to live in Northern Ireland?
Of course. Of course. She's born right here. She's going to live here. So she is, and she's working here. She'll pay her taxes to here. But, unfortunately, if they do the DUP, she'll not be able to get married here, so cheers, DUP. That's all I have to say, Stephen. Thanks very much for taking it.
Would it be one of your dreams to, you know, see your child married?
Walk her down the aisle over here? To walk her down the aisle over here, if that's what you're going to ask me, yeah. Yes, it would be. In their church, yeah.
And it might never happen in your lifetime.
No, it won't. No, Steve, not on that. Well, I would like, well, I'm 45. I'd like to think, I don't know, 10 years that have totally changed their minds. Not totally. I know they have, still have their belief, but it would give these people a bit more brain space, Stephen. They're the same as me and you. They're the same as Emmons. You might have the same, might not have the same beliefs. Stephen, we're all human. Enough's enough. Thanks very much for your time.
Morning, Mark. John in Lisburn. Morning, John.
Hello, Stephen. My point is this, that Jesus Christ, who's the Lord and Saviour of me and many people in this country, came for the unrighteous people. How do we know we're unrighteous? Because God gave us laws. I don't want this to be just a debate about gay people. It's not. It's a debate about people who are far away from God and who need God. And if I don't like reading the Old Testament, I'll be honest, as a Christian, because it tells me who I am. And it makes me, you know, it makes me uneasy. But then I read the New Testament where Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Paul, who God called to be the teacher and leader of a new Christian cult, as it was then, said the same thing. You know, Jesus came for the unrighteous, and I just don't want this to be about people, gay people. It's about everybody who doesn't know God. Now, that's what this is about. You know, there's people rioting in this country, and there's people stealing, and there's people doing all sorts of things, and they're all unrighteous, you know, and that's the point I want to make.
And you're righteous, are you?
Am I righteous? I'm righteous because I'm covered in the blood of Jesus, his righteousness. He died on the cross for my sin. Am I a good character? Well, you'd have to ask my workmates, or you'd have to ask my family. There's days I don't feel terribly good about myself, but then, you know what, Stephen, I've worked in shanty towns where people had nothing.
But you feel...
You come here and people are just ripping the backside out of the welfare state.
But you feel you've the...
Freedom or liberty to celebrate religion.
But you feel
you can't even speak about my religion in public.
Well, you can. And
what's that about?
You're very welcome to speak about your religion on this programme.
Well, I appreciate that, Stephen,
but
and,
you feel,
and God bless you.
But you feel that you have the right to describe yourself as righteous and other people who
no,
you
no,
don't
I don't
know.
Describe myself as righteous.
Well, you just did.
No, no.
I asked you if you're righteous.
I told you, Stephen. I'm a Christian because
I asked you if
I
you're
know
righteous.
That I'm unrighteous.
You said,
I know
no,
that I need God, my Saviour.
Well, John, what you said was you are righteous because you're covered in God's blood. That's what you said.
That's right, yes.
Right. So
nothing to do with me.
So you...
Why did Jesus Christ die on the cross, Stephen?
So you, John... Feel you
I'll
have
ask
the
you
right
that question, Stephen.
You, John.
Why did, no, Stephen.
You feel you have the right to describe yourself as righteous, but no. To describe another human being
no,
as unrighteous
you're point,
because
Stephen.
Of the. I think. Please listen to
the
question.
I won't let you put words in my mouth, Stephen.
Well,
I'm
quoting back to you what you said. You, sir, feel that you can describe yourself as righteous, but you can describe another human being who you have never met.
I will not let
who you have never met
mouth,
as unrighteous because
no,
of their sexuality.
Let you put words in my mouth,
because
Stephen.
Of their sexuality, you describe people
no,
as unrighteous.
Because
do
of
you?
Their sin. Everybody's a sinner. And why should we point out the gay people more than people that steal or people that are self righteous or people that just will not submit to God's
maybe
authority?
I will
not allow you to put words in my mouth. I'm a sinful man. I am righteous because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for me.
And why could a gay person not be righteous because of the blood God put on them too?
Exactly. Well, you ask them.
No, I'm asking you because you're calling them unrighteous because
gay.
Of their sexuality.
I have friends who were gay. And they come to Jesus Christ and Christ changes people. That's what the hope of Christianity is. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Paul said, of whom I am the chief. And he was a self-righteous prig. You read the New Testament, you'll find that. He went about and killed people who were following Jesus. And it's getting to be that way now. And what I'm saying, Stephen, is that we're all sinful people. And I'm not pointing the finger at gay people more than anybody else. The Bible says we're all unrighteous. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There are people listening to this today who think they're fine, but they do not acknowledge God as their Saviour. And I love Jesus Christ. I love God. I know him. I know him intellectually. I can talk to you about why I don't believe in evolution. I can talk to you about why I believe what I believe. God loves everyone. But to turn this into a gay thing, you know, and gay people think they have a right to preach, and I can't even preach in the streets. It's sad. It's a sad state of affairs. You might agree, Stephen.
I want to give you space to make your point this morning, John. And thank you very, very much for calling us
today. Thank you for your time, Stephen. God bless you.
Thank you.
Listeners as well.
Morning to you.